Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's edition of Front Porch Talks took place on Sunday night, February 11th. It was a youth worship night where a couple churches in our community got together to worship. It was our church, Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene, along with Grace Covenant Church and a couple other churches that met at Grace Covenant. And Grace Covenant's youth pastor, Gordon Wyrick, came and shared with the students about unity.
Hey, thank you guys. Like, for real, thank you. That was awesome. And thank you, because it would have been weird if you weren't here. Right? That was pretty good. They did a great job too, right? So thank you guys. Awesome. Hey, when Olivia prayed for us at the start of this, she said something that I want to say again. She said, Jesus, you were here before we got here, so we don't need to ask you to come because you're already here. And in the Bible, it's really cool because she also mentioned, God, you promised where two or more are gathered, you would be there. And I just think that's a cool picture. So it's a cool picture because, I don't know, just take a quick look around. We're a very diverse group. We are very different people. We come from, there's at least four churches represented here, if not more. There's all kinds of different economic backgrounds, different families, different everythings. And I think Jesus says, when there's two or more gathered in my name, I promise to be there because I don't want to miss it. That sounds like a miracle that I want to be a part of. It's like, there's no reason we should all be in the same room right now if it wasn't for Jesus. Am I right? It really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But that's the beauty of unity, and that's the beauty of agreement in Jesus. That's pretty cool. Let's talk more about that. Grab a seat. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys.
Wait, on the floor or like...
Grab a seat on the floor. Don't go so far away. Or I really will have to yell at you. Because, you know, that scripture, it's really cool, right? So two or more are gathered in Jesus' name. Jesus promises to come. And it's cool because it's not like, hey, when you show up by yourself, I'll be there. Like, that's his promise to you. He's in us. He fills us. He's around us. He's in through all things, right? But he makes a very specific promise that when there's multiple people together, he wants to join in. Because there's one thing about unity that I do know is that you can't have unity by yourself. Am I right? You guys ever think about that? I am unified. With who? Anyways, so here's one thing I want to do. I need three volunteers who aren't afraid to embarrass themselves just a little bit. Yeah, I know you. Okay, come on up. All right, yep, right here. Red sweatshirt here. Okay, right here. Hand up, sweatshirt in the back. Awesome. Come on up. All right. We're going to play a little game of elimination. So if you lose, you're out. It's that simple. Because the thing about unity, which is fun, it's like playing dodgeball. Because it doesn't work when you try to play by yourself. Wrap your mind around that. It'll come slowly and... yeah, okay. So here's what we're going to do. Before we play dodgeball, though, we've got three stages to get to this dodgeball game. Okay, three stages. First of all, let's make it four. First stage, introduce yourself. What is your name?
Jerilee.
You're the only Jerilee that I know. Welcome. Hey, Jerilee, everybody. Right. Hey, Jerilee. If you were stranded on a desert island, deserted or desert. It's a desert island that's deserted. What one food would you take with you?
I have no idea.
Now you gotta pick one. I'll pick it for you.
Chocolate.
Good answer. Alright, what's your name?
Jacob.
Yeah, it is. Alright, if you could travel anywhere in the whole world, where would you travel to?
Here.
Here. You are here. Good answer. All right, come on in. Come on in. I can't walk that far. I could, but I don't want to. What's your name?
Savannah.
Hey, Savannah. One question for you. What's your favorite thing? Cheerleading's my favorite thing too. All right, come on. Okay, so here's how this is gonna work. We've got three stages remaining. That was stage one. The final stage will be a dodgeball game. So the first stage, Geralee, I'm gonna ask you, you have to play tag with yourself and the loser has to leave. Ready, go.
So, did you win or did you lose?
Really?
Yeah, it's really confusing. What do you think? Did she win?
Yeah.
Technically, yes. Did she lose?
Yeah.
Yeah, technically, yes. All right, have a seat. Thank you. All right. So the next one here, by yourself, you have to play a round of boxing.
At least that one wasn't me.
Okay, you can. You all right? Not boxing. We won't do boxing. How about boxing? Let's just stick with boxing. Ready?
Go.
Oh. All right, so did he win?
Yeah.
Did he lose?
Yeah.
All right, have a seat. All right, Savannah, come here. Dodgeball, where's the ball? Did it roll? Here it is. All right, dodgeball. Do you know the rules of dodgeball? All right, if you get hit, you're out. But if you catch the ball after somebody threw it, then that person's out and you get to stay in. Okay, real simple rules. Ready, go. One person games are terrible. So did you win?
Yes.
Did you lose?
Yes.
All right, have a seat. Hey, there's nothing. Hey, you know what? For all my contestants, you get a prize. Here, I have a pen. Do you want it? There's also a pen on the back of every single seat. All right, do you want one, Savannah? You've earned it. I don't want to throw it. I'll poke you in the eye. Okay, so I'm going to keep this up here because if you're not paying attention, I will throw it at your face. So here's what we're going to talk about. Can I get my slide up here? We're going to talk about unity because, again, the one thing I know about unity is you can't do it alone. It's kind of like playing dodgeball. You with me? You can't really play alone. In the Bible, a lot of different people talk about unity and compare it to a body, which is a pretty simple yet could be sort of terrifying example of unity. Because if you're disunified, what does that mean?
You're disembodied.
You're disembodied. So we're not going to really talk about that. I don't have any pictures of that because that would make you throw up. But we are going to talk about unity because there's something special that happens. Did you guys feel that tonight? I don't know if I can even describe it other than to say, you had to be there. Somebody texted me just now. I said, hope the worship night's going well. I said, yeah, but you kind of have to be there. You kind of have to show up for unity. You tracking with me? So there's a passage in Ephesians 4, which I'm going to read to you. There's also a slide up here. And so you can follow along. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Therefore I, this ball won't stop rolling. Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you, who? Beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. You guys with me still? Verse 2. Always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. You guys with me? United in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body, there's one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all. Got cut off there at the end, but good thing I read it. Am I right? Yeah. Okay. Go to the next slide here because there's three things that we often forget, which I believe really hinders the growth of unity when we forget them. However, when we embrace these three simple things, it helps to cultivate. You guys know what cultivate means? It helps to make happen unity. And not just in a worship service. This was cool and all, but you know what's going to happen in like an hour and a half? You're going to go home. You know what's going to happen tomorrow morning? You'll probably go to school. And then this is going to, like, this stops, in other words. But other things continue on. These three things, if you get this, you can bring unity wherever you go. Okay? So we're going to go over it. First thing that we forget that hinders unity when we forget it is we forget who we are. When you forget who you are, it leads to all kinds of things. Jose prayed an awesome prayer. God, would you just like silence those lies so that we remember the truth and hear the truth of who we are? Like this, Paul, who wrote this letter to these Ephesians, he says, I beg you. I don't know if you've ever begged for anything, but it's like, you only do that for really important things. Like, I begged my wife to marry me. You know, like, I wasn't going to miss out on that. Thank you, babe. You're the best. All right, so I beg you to live a life, to lead a life worthy of your calling. Don't sell yourself short. Remember who you are, because you've been called by God. Now, we're going to not go into deep detail in that. But just trust me on this. Each one of you has a calling on your life. Each one of you can do things that nobody else can do. In fact, when you walked into this space, this physical space, the spiritual space, the emotional space that exists in this room, when you came in here, you brought something that nobody else in the entire world could bring. A combination of passions and experiences, a combination of gifts and talents. Nobody else possesses what you have. So Paul, me, everybody, I'm not Paul. My name's Gordon. Good to meet you. Good to be seen by you. We beg you to lead a life worthy of that call. It's that important. I'm going to beg for it. Okay? The other thing, be patient with each other. So what happens sometimes is we forget who other people are. We forget that other people have that same immense, deep purpose for living. That God created them and calls them important, just as he calls us important. And it's pretty easy to forget that. And when we do, it hinders unity. And the third thing, the most important thing, is we forget who God is. We forget the big picture. We forget that in the end of the Bible, we know the end of the story. In fact, the second to last chapter of the Bible reminds us of this. It reminds us really of God's ultimate plan. It reminds us why we keep going in the midst of pain and trials and sorrow and sadness and challenges. It reminds us that we keep going when just because we're not happy, we don't feel like serving, we don't feel like showing up, this chapter that I'm about to read to you gives you reason to show up every single day, no matter how you feel. In Revelation 21, it says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old earth and the old heaven had disappeared. And the sea was also gone. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, God's home. Like, God. He's home. God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. Here it is. You guys ready? This is the end of the story. This is how it's all going to end. I can't promise anything other than this right here, but I can promise you this, that he, God, will wipe away every tear from your eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All those things will be gone forever. It's a pretty bold promise. That's the end of the story. That's why we can keep going when things are hard, when we're struggling. That's why we keep showing up day in and day out. Number one, because your life right now has a purpose that only you can fulfill. Everybody else in this room needs you. There's people outside of this room that need you. I need you. You need you. You get what I'm saying? So those are the three things that really hinder unity, that stop it from happening. And if I stop there, this talk would be terrible. Right? Man, Gordon told me all the things I'm not doing good enough. No, I won't do that because I love you. But let's just recap. You forget who you are. You forget who... Participation, that was like begging you for participation. You forget who you are, you forget who others are, and you forget who God is. Okay, so here, that was three reasons. I will simplify it. I will give you two questions to ask, just two, that I believe completely transform your way of living out unity and completely flip this process around. Okay? It won't only remind you who you are, it'll remind you who others are, and it'll remind you who God is. So two questions. The first one is this. How is that true about me? Go to that slide. I don't know where it is. These are out of order. How is that true about me? How is that true about me? Now, Gordon, why in the world would I ask a weird question like that? I'm glad you asked. Thanks. Who was that? Okay, no, for real though. So how is that true about me? This is a powerful question to ask, because who here has ever been in a situation and you've observed somebody and been like, whoa, they're really good at that, right? Yeah, I just witnessed that like today, like just 10 minutes ago when everybody was up here singing. I was like, they're really good at that. I'm not good at that. I wish I was good at that. But this question is powerful in that setting, but it's also powerful in another setting. Who here has ever been in a situation when you're like, that person bugs me to no end, right? Like, I will, and yeah, right? Don't point fingers though. Don't like, yeah, that person. No, don't point fingers. Or do, because you're about to get your mind blown. So, here's actually what I'd like to do. Think of a situation right now. It could be something that happened right before you left home tonight. It could have been a conversation with your mom or dad. It could have been a conversation with a sibling. My gosh, that's probably like the prime example of those situations, right? But think of a moment. It could be a coworker, somebody at school, somebody that drives you bonkers. Okay? Think of a situation. Think of it. Don't say it out loud. Okay, what did they do? How did it make you feel? Right? And now think about that situation and ask yourself, looking at that person, how is what they're doing true about me? Right? This happens more often than not in family settings. Like I remember when I was in high school, my mom and I were probably too similar, so we drove each other nuts. And so, I think back on moments, and I wish I had this question to ask myself then. It probably would have saved a lot of hard conversations and a lot of slammed doors, and my fist probably wouldn't have gone through the wall quite as many times as it did. But, let me give you an example. I remember my mom, she kind of, well, let's use a different example. All right, so, I love my mother. I'm not going to talk bad about her ever. So, let's just say there was a person at school. This is a true story. There's a person at school just drove me nuts, right? Every time I would be with them, they would ask just off-the-wall questions. Their breath stung. They were like, can you just please give me some space, buddy? Like, what is your problem? And can you make it somebody else, not me, that you're breathing on right now? But I think back to that situation, I think, okay, why was he so concerned about being like up in my space? Right? What was he feeling that made him want to be so close to me that he would drive me nuts constantly? Well, I think about him. I put myself in his shoes and I say, okay, well, I know he comes from a rough family. And I know he really doesn't have a whole lot of friends. And really, I know that he doesn't have access to, like, normal cleanliness opportunities. Let's put it like that. And so all of a sudden, I start putting myself in his shoe and saying, okay, well, how is that true about me? What about what he does? Do I do to either bug other people, or where am I searching for that kind of connection that he's obviously lacking? Just tracking with me, that wasn't the greatest example. I kind of made it up because I didn't want to badmouth my mom. I ditched my notes on that one. But if you can ask yourself that question, what it does is all of a sudden it gives you compassion for that person. And it says, you know what? They're not that bad. I can actually understand where they're coming from, just a little bit. Now, I might throw him a breath mint here and there. That's cool. I still like him. You know, it's not like I'm kicking him in the shin or something and running away. Although I want to. No, but if you can ask yourself that question, it builds up compassion in you, in your heart. You can understand them. Now, go back to this example here of the singers, and you're observing somebody, you're like, man, they are awesome, and I'm not. I'm not awesome. Well, that thinking can quickly spiral downhill, right? That thinking can quickly go to, actually, not only am I not good at singing, but I'm not good at a lot of things. And all these people that I see doing awesome things, they're way more awesome than I ever will be. Now, all of a sudden, I went from singing to, like, my whole life is terrible. That's a pretty big jump. But we can quickly get there if we're not careful, and we forget who we are. Because you're not as bad as your worst day. And in fact, I believe that God speaks to us in moments like that, where he gives us eyes to see the good around us. He gives us eyes and the ability to actually say, you know what? They're awesome. And I wonder what I'm identifying through myself, about myself, through what I see in them. I know I'm kind of jumping all over the place, but track with me here. I believe that if you can identify something in somebody else, there's got to be something true about that in you. Otherwise, how would you know that that's good or not? How would you know to recognize it? So, in this example, no, I may not be good at singing. The details are different. But the heart is the same. What am I excellent at? There's something there. You know what I'm excellent at? I can make people smile. I'm excellent at that. And I can live with myself a little better. And it's actually really important that I know that, because now I can do it on purpose. And you singers up here, please keep singing. Do it on purpose more often than you don't. Just do it, because you're excellent at it. And it's a gift. So right where you are, again, think of a moment. Observe a moment that you've observed somebody doing something excellently. Something that you've looked up to. Something that you admire about, somebody in your life. It could be a peer. It could be a family member. It could be a teacher. Somebody. Think of a moment. Like, man, I always look up to that person. Okay? And then ask yourself, how is that true about me? Okay, so the details will be different, but the heart will be the same. And if you can separate that, dig a little bit deeper, and say, you know what? I am excellent, or I am able to, or I am willing to. It leads you in a direction that's actually fruitful. And I believe it'll help uncover the truth about who you are. So that's the first thing. Compassion is putting yourself in somebody else's shoes and understanding them. Jesus operated in that every time he served somebody. Every interaction he had was out of compassion. But there's also self-compassion. There's also the compassion for yourself that says, you know what? All these things I'm insecure about, I'm not just that. There's something more to me than just those things. You guys with me? Give yourself some self-compassion now and again. Okay? Learn to recognize excellence in other people and ask yourself, how is that true about me? The next thing, and we're going to wrap up with this, is honor. You show other people
honor. So the first one, compassion and self-compassion, that's both, how is that true about me, right? It identifies something that's true about me, living in who God's called me to be, but it's also helping to see other people, right? You guys with me? You guys get that? Remembering who other people are. Honor does two things too. Honor, first of all, says, how does God view this person? Right? Not just what do I see in them, but how does God see them? What's the goal that he created them for? What's inside of them that's special, that's unique, that's rare, and that's valuable? And do you know how you, you guys know how you value something? Economics 101, principle of supply and demand. Right? So the more something is accessible and the less something is desirable, the less expensive it'll be, because there's like, so it's like gas station sunglasses, right? They're not that expensive, they're cheap, because there's so many of them, and like, I don't know, I bought them before, but I don't like make a habit of buying gas station sunglasses. Anybody bought like gas station sunglasses today? Am I offending you? I'm sorry, we'll have ministry time in a minute. But, excuse me, but then there's the flip side of that. There's the whole thing of when something's valued highly, when something's expensive, it's because there's not much of it, and there's a lot of people who want it. Here's an example. Back in 2010, any PS3 players here? No, I play PS4. I'm really cool. All right, PS3. That was one before PS4. All right, PS3. There was a video game that came out, NBA Elite 11. Anybody heard of it? NBA Elite 11. You've heard of it? That's really cool. So this was released, and it was supposed to be like the best NBA sport game ever released on PS3, which is important because NBA 10 was terrible, and they're going to make up for lost time. So NBA Elite 11 comes out, all the, you know, EA Sports, you know, software engineers and everybody, they're so amped, like, this is going to change, revolutionize, you know, video games and sports. So they released some demos, and people were loving it. People were eating it up, downloading it, playing it. And then they'd get in the middle of a game, and their guy would be dribbling and go for a shot and do this. Like, all over the place. And then there'd be guys who, like, they'd find, like, the one spot on the floor, and they wouldn't miss. So there was glitches all over this thing. And all the producers of this game, all the creators of this game were like, oh, no, we messed up. We got to stop this before it's released. Well, they didn't, and a handful of copies went out. Right? Handful of copies went out, and now all of a sudden, there's a rare collector's item. This game that's actually really terrible. It's not perfect, it's not smooth, but there's only like a handful of them in existence. So these collectors, traveling the world, going online auctions, trying to buy these things up. A year ago, do you know what one of them sold for? We're talking a video game here that's 8 years old. Nearly $10,000 a video game that makes me want to throw up. I don't like $2 video games, but that's neither here nor there. So, do you get what I'm saying with this whole supply and demand thing? The more something is desired, but the less of that thing there is, the more valuable it is. So honoring does that for other people. Honoring says, you know what? There's only one of you here. And you're incredibly valuable because X, Y, and Z. I see this in you. You're important because you're loved. You're important because you bring this gift to the table. You're important because of the powerful words that you share. You're important because your brain is intelligent and we need you to figure stuff out for us. You're important because you're a great friend. And it calls that out in them. And many of you guys know this, a lot of you all who have been around me, like, this is my thing. If I could do one thing, it would be this. Because I think it's that important. So let me ask you something. How do you know what your value is? Real quick, how many of you are there in the world?
One.
One. So, you're rare. You're a collector's item. Do you know the demand that's on your life? Do you know how many forces both physically and spiritually, are going after you. So many. You're in demand. You're in high demand. And you're of high value. But ultimately, value is, it's determined by what's paid for it. Value is determined by what's paid for. And your life was paid for by the life of Jesus. Jesus bought you at a price that was so high, it cost him everything. But you know what's awesome about that? Is that he willingly did it. It says in Scripture, for the joy set before him. Because he knew the end of the story. He knew one day there would be no more tears. There would be no more pain. He knew the end of the story, so he joyfully gave up everything for you. And it's important to remind us, remind ourselves, remind each other who God is. Because without him, unity is pointless. Without him, unity is just as, it only works as hard as we're willing to work. But with him, it has the ability to change everything. Because if you can remember who you are, and you remember who others are around you, and you remember who God is, your life will be lived out so powerfully that at the end of your days, you'll look back and you'll be in just as much awe, I believe, as everybody else around you. And one day when we're all together in heaven, there's no more tears, there's no more pain, we can then look around too and say, we made it. Thanks for enduring. Thanks for sticking with me when I was refusing unity. When I was refusing relationship. Thanks for coming after me. You have that power to be that for somebody. But there's this thing that I like to call uncommon nonsense. You guys have heard of common sense? Well, I think there's something called uncommon nonsense, which is even more powerful than common sense because it's kingdom living. And it says, in essence, if you want something, you give it away. Generosity says, I'm going to give everything away because I know where my source is. I know that it'll never run out. Jesus says, if you want life, then you've got to lose it. It's uncommon nonsense. Who would do that? It's crazy talk. But it's the only way to really live. And it's the only way to see unity happen. So we're going to move into a time of ministry. It's going to be fun. We're going to pray for each other. Our leaders will spread out around the sides and then kind of the front section here. So leaders, make yourself available. Because I don't take this stuff lightly. And tonight's the kind of night that I believe that can change the direction of your entire life. That's possible tonight. You can make a first step tonight. I'm under the conviction that in the Bible, there's never any like prayer that you have to pray to become a Christian. I don't know how you guys feel about that. We can talk afterwards. But it does say often, Jesus just saying, follow me. Because this is a journey. It's It's a walk. It's a direction. We're going towards the end of the story here. And so maybe tonight you're like, man, I have not been following Jesus. I've been going my own direction. Well, tonight can be the night of new direction. Of actually saying, you know what? I'm not going to follow that path anymore. I'm going to follow Jesus. And I'm going to see where he leads me. And it may take a little bit of uncommon nonsense. And you may have to wrestle with that a little bit. But that's why these leaders are here tonight, to wrestle with you, to stand with you and say, you know what, you're not alone. And maybe tonight you just need to remember, and you need a reminder of who you are, the depth of calling that's on your life, the importance of the life that you are living right now. That despite what people have said to you in your past, despite what you know you're going home to, despite what you think tomorrow's going to hold for you at school, you need someone to stand with you and to tell you it's worth it. It's going to be hard, but this end, it's worth it. And maybe tonight you're actually thinking, you know what, I think maybe for the first time I'm willing to admit I'm self-centered. That I'm more convinced about being right in my arguments than I am with treating people right. And I need to take a look around and actually recognize that the people around me have incredible value too. And maybe you just want to stand with somebody and just say, you know what? I want to see the gold in other people for the first time. I want to know how important my friends are. And I want to see God work in their life. Well, these leaders will pray with you for that too. So if you need a reminder of who you are, if you need a reminder of who others are, or if you need a reminder of who God is, please, I beg you to find somebody to pray with tonight. Our worship team is going to be up here. They'll be doing what they do so amazingly well, just playing music, creating an atmosphere here where we can encounter the living God. That's my hope for you tonight. So pray with me. Jesus, I thank you that unity is not about me. It's not even about us. But Jesus, I thank you that unity is about you. And I thank you, God, that somehow you orchestrated life so that we can do this together. In relationship with you, in relationship with each other, for your glory and your purposes. So I pray tonight that your kingdom would come, your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that we would experience the unity, the collision of heaven meeting earth tonight. In our own lives, in the lives of our friends. So God, I pray those students who are wrestling just with the idea of who you are, God, asking the question, you know, did God really do all these things that we talk about? Can he really do this? Can he really restore my relationship with my mom? Can he really help that bully to see the light and stop picking on me? Can he really give me eyes to see myself the way he sees me? Can he really? Well, I pray tonight, God, that you would answer that. That you would give us an experience of your love and of the truth that's written in your word. So I pray that tonight would be a night where our direction would be turned to follow you, Jesus. And that if there's somebody here that's never made that decision before, that they would know that they're invited to right now. There's nothing you've got to do first. There's no right way of living that you've got to become an expert at before you start this journey, but you can do it right now. So students, if that's you,
I beg you to come and stand with somebody and ask them to pray with you and help you make that first step. So Lord, we love you. We're going to worship you because you're worth it. In Jesus' name, amen.